Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's December the 20th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, U.S. trade officials have until January the 2nd to appeal a WTO ruling. And Democrats want to move more energy legislation in 2008. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then we'll get into the Christmas spirit with a story about toy tractors. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat, it's $9.54, down 19.5 cents today. May futures down 13.5 at 9.55.5, and July contract lost 5.25 cents at $7.79.5. May corn, rather March corn, up 2.75 today, 4.37.5. The May futures at 4.48. Up 2.75 as well, and July futures at $4.56 a bushel, up 3.25. December corn for next year, a 2.5 cent gain at $4.54.5. January soybeans, $11.60 3/4. The final price for the day, up 1 penny 3/4. March futures up 2 cents at $11.79 3/4. And the May futures, $11.95 3/4, up 3 for the day. Next year's November new crop at $10.78. Up 7.5 cents in the bean pit. Now the products: January bean meal futures $3.25.10, $1.40 higher. The March up $2.10 at $3.31.90. January bean oil futures $46.63, down 20. March bean oil down 14 at $47.24. From the CME Group's Mercantile Exchange, December live cattle at $92.37.5, down 15. February futures 57.5 cents lower at $95.70 a hundredweight. January feeder cattle 103.95, down 25. The March contract 40 lower at 106.95. February lean hog futures $59.90, down 20. April futures at $65.50, down 17.5. The May contract down 15 cents at $71.72.5 from the lean hogs in Chicago. The outside markets trading the crude oil February contract at $91 and a nickel, down 19 cents a barrel. The March contract 25 cents higher at $91.43. The U.S. dollar at 77.688. That's up 0.177. And the Dow now at 13,228 is just about 21 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on a Thursday afternoon is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's been kind of topsy-turvy for the week so far. We've been up, we've been down, and it's been fairly volatile. But I suppose when you look at the numbers at these levels and you move in the wheat pit as far as we have to both sides, those numbers are not nearly as big as they could be if we were at $5 wheat.
Well, I think so. I think that's a good way to sum it up. And, you know, we are kind of winding down a lot of positions for the year, as well as, you know, winding down positions before Christmas. So December is always a difficult month to kind of get any clues from, because you have all those influences taking place, and sometimes it gives you mixed signals and confusing signals. And I think that's maybe where we're at for the most part. But, you know, when you look at where we may end up at for the month, you know, we may still be in good shape on monthly charts and weekly charts and whatnot, especially corn and soybeans. I think those two markets are signaling higher upside objectives to come. So I think for the week, I think corn and soybean futures have held up real well. I would like to see a nice, strong finish for the week here tomorrow afternoon. If we would get that in some higher weekly closes in corn futures, we're kind of maybe down a penny or so for the week. and bean futures were kind of up a penny or two for the week. So I think if we could solidify today's advances or get some good follow-through from today's higher closes, I think that the markets are in solid technical shape here to finish out the year.
As we finish out the year, farmers will be looking forward, thinking about old crop sales for corn and soybeans, and possibly new crop sales. Are you a willing seller of old crop, and do you want to wait on February for the new crop?
Well, I think at least the way the market is performing, we've got some trend lines in place. And I think as you look toward the January crop report and you look for some additional supply-demand table tightening coming out of that January final report, I think it's difficult to see how the market's going to break until we see those numbers. Now, anytime you get into a final crop report, there could be surprises, and we could maybe be up for a bearish surprise, but the market doesn't have that feel, at least at this moment. The default mode for the market is still to close higher. There's probably thousands of people that's been trying to talk this market down for the month of December, and it's just not cooperating with them. And I think that tells you that, you just can't kill a market when it continues to look at supply-demand tightening.
What are you making as you look at your cycles on the yearly cycles? I don't know whether you've taken a look at that yet as we're about to close out the cycle. Where do we stand, do you think?
Well, I'm in a window here like probably most people that follow time counts and cycles and that you have to be on guard for about anything to kind of happen. Like I said, I'm willing to run the risk at the moment until we get into early January and see how the market performs around the January final. Then I think after that final crop production number, and a lot of that, of course, will depend upon what USDA says, but if there's nothing really earth-shaking in it on the bullish side, then the market might be ready then for some kind of early year rest, and we could maybe have some kind of late January break, and then depending upon what the fundamentals are, it could extend itself into February. I do know that there'll be a lot of people wanting a higher market during February to average out their insurance price. Whether or not the market is going to be cooperative this year or not, that still remains to be seen. We'll have to, I think there's a lot of twists and turns the market's going to go through before now and then. I'm in the general opinion that we've got a much bigger increase in bean acres in play than probably what the market is working, and a little bigger decline in corn acres than maybe what the market is working. But until the USDA sees USDA's numbers in March 31st, it's going to be anybody's guess, and we're going to have a lot of private estimates going back and forth, and farmers themselves may still be a little flexible yet.
Of course, that'll come after February, because that's when chronologically,
right,
when that's what March is. But here's the question then. How much of a break, if there is one, would you consider enough of a break for farmers to pull the trigger on some new crop corn sales, given where they might think the average price in February would be? So if it's 380 as opposed to 40, I think it was 403 or 406 last year on the average in the month of February, if it's 380 or 370 or 350, what's the price that you would be a more aggressive new crops sales for corn?
I guess I'm willing to, I got some upside targets here, 20 to 40 cents higher that I guess I would like to see the market between now and the January crop report try to attain. If I would get those kind of price objectives, I'm not too sure I would wait on a break to sell. I think farmers have to evaluate each position, evaluate their position each day with the prices. But it, as long as the trend line is up, and as long as the market the demand is growing, I think we can be a little patient on that.
All right. Thanks much. Anything to add before we let you go for the holiday season?
That's about it. I wish everybody a happy holidays and a prosperous new year. It's kind of fun talking about 450 corn and 1150 type soybeans here to finish out the year.
You bet. Thanks much.
Uh-huh.
That's Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitch should join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the two-state region, the Midwest and the globe. M580's own Mr. Searles, a forecast for the two-state region looks like this for this evening. Mostly cloudy skies, some showers, a few areas of drizzle and fog. Lows will range from 25 in the north to the lower 40s in the south. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies in the north, a few showers possible for northwestern Illinois. Partly cloudy in southern sections. Temps in the north close to the 40s to near 60 in the far south. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, U.S. trade officials are considering whether to appeal a decision by the World Trade Organization, which found the U.S. did not go far enough in cutting cotton trade-distorting subsidies with the elimination of the Step 2 program. The U.S. has until January 2nd to appeal. If the U.S. fails to appeal or appeals and loses, Brazil can seek billions of dollars in retaliatory sanctions on imports of U.S. goods, services, and intellectual property rights. Brazil originally filed its WTO case in February of 2003. Congressional Democrats say they want to move more energy legislation in 2008, including tax incentives for renewable fuels, a renewable electricity mandate, and a cap-and-trade system dealing with climate change. Yesterday, President George Bush signed an omnibus energy bill that included increased CAFE and renewable fuel standards. Renewable Fuels Association President Bob Dineen says the new energy bill should spur cellulosic ethanol development.
It's really sending clear, unambiguous signals to the marketplace to invest in these new technologies. And that's really going to be the legacy of this bill.
But yesterday's energy bill signing did not totally please Republicans, who say the legislation fails to address the need for more domestic production of fossil fuels, especially oil and natural gas. South Korea will cut tariffs on milling wheat, soybeans, and corn between January 1st and June 30th in an effort to stabilize food prices and ease farm industry pressure. South Korea's trade ministry says the move is intended to relieve the cost burden on small companies in the wake of higher grain prices. USDA announced yesterday that it will soon begin releasing more than $1 billion in disaster aid payments for losses suffered in 2005, 2006, and before February 28th of 2007. Sign-up for payments is ongoing under the Crop Disaster Program, Livestock Compensation Program, and Livestock Indemnity Program. Two livestock cloning companies say they have finalized a new database designed to track cloned animals from farm to slaughterhouse. The plan is to give each cloned animal a unique ID that can be entered into a registry and used by livestock auction markets or packers and processors to identify the animal. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to issue a final ruling on the safety of cloned cattle, sheep, and pigs within weeks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. wishing you the merriest of Christmases and reminding you that next week and the following week, we will not be open for business at the radio station, at least in the Ag Department, on Monday or Tuesday. That's before Christmas and before New Year's. But the rest of the week, we will be in next week. Not quite during the closing mark report. Those numbers will come to you from 1:45 till 2 o'clock, but no closing mark report at all next week. The following week will pick up on Wednesday after the New Year's. Now, up next at Christmas, you know, farm boys all over the nation will be waiting, not so patiently, for Santa to bring them a tractor just like their dad's. And if they're lucky, it will be American-made from Dyersville, Iowa. That's the home of Joseph Ertl, toy maker. I produced this story in December of 2001. What I won from Santa this year is a toy tractor. Santa actually already brought it to me. He made it himself. It's a Meadow Green Oliver, 1955, trimmed in clover white with orange and black to set it off. And this little toy tractor is the first model he's ever made with a radio mounted right there on the fender. It's just like the one I clung to as a little boy when Dad and I went to the field. My Santa is Joe Ertl of Dyersville, Iowa. For 50 years, the company his dad founded has made the dreams of little and big farm boys come true.
Now I'm only 5 years old. I've got to do just what I'm told. Santa Claus is going to be dropping in on me.
Max Armstrong, farm broadcaster, WGN U.S. Farm Report, Chicago. Every kid loves a tractor. There's no doubt in my mind, boys love tractors. And as we get a little bit older, some of us who grew up on those tractors think back to those days. I mean, when I look at my Farmall Super M or the Super H, I think about days of sitting in that tractor, bringing in a load of corn when I was a little boy, and coming in on a chilly October night with that moon coming up over the corn stalks. Or I think about cultivating corn down to the Wabash Bottoms. I was on one tractor and Dad was on another. You know, there's just something very, very special, especially if it's a tractor that Dad had. You know, there's an emotion that gets wrapped up in that.
It is an emotion that Max Armstrong knows all too well, and one that has made Joseph Ertl's toy tractors worth a lot of money. At this auction in November, to benefit scholarships for future farm broadcasters, Max spent $300 on a 1/8-inch scale Farmall MD. It's special for many reasons.
That's an M diesel, and this one is special because it's a 50th anniversary tractor. On the frame of that tractor are raised letters pointing out that it's the 50th year of toy making for Joseph Ertl, the legendary toy maker who owns Scale Model Toys.
Would you like me to put anything up here on the your name or anything?
Joe Ertl is a celebrity in his own right, and for years his autograph has been sought after. Like Santa, he gives it freely.
Can you write, thanks for support of farm broadcasting?
I'll date it there for you, too. And
you've done this before.
Yeah, a few thousand times.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your
welcome.
Help.
Welcome. Thank you for supporting.
Well, it started way back in 1945 when my father was on strike at a local foundry, and he started making castings in his basement. And one day he made a farm toy, and I was 10 years old at the time. And at that time, the toy tractor sold so well, he never went back to his job again. And of course, I grew up with the business. And then when I was in my senior year of high school, I started taking drafting courses. And we went from sand casting to die casting, and we had to have drawings. So I started making the drawings for the toys, and I've been designing them ever since.
Today, Joe Ertl's company is called Scale Models, and he still loves to design and make toy tractors, in large part, he says, because the farm community has welcomed him into its vast family called agriculture.
It's been a pleasure for me to work my whole life here in the designing of these toys, which have made so many people happy. You know, the farmers have really been great to our family, and I can't think of anything more wholesome than little toy tractor and to be a pretend a farmer. It's so much better than some of these toys I've seen made over the year, and it's been a pleasure for me to be associated with the farmers and the farming industry and everything. It's just been a wonderful life.
Sir? That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
If you're lucky, what you'll find under your Christmas tree this year is a toy tractor made by Joseph Ertl in Dyersville, Iowa. That's what's on the top of my list. Well, by the way, thanks in advance, Santa. Your friend, Todd Gleason at the University of Illinois.
But could there be something I might have missed? I had quite a few things on my list. I hope he can fit it all under that Christmas tree. I hope he can fit it all under my Christmas tree. Let's see, I know he can fit the,
he'll fit the airplane under there.
He can get that bicycle in there and a gumball machine. And I don't know what he's going to do with that horse.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Time now to take a look at the cash grain market. On the phone with us this afternoon, of course, Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd. That was a kind of a neat Christmas story there.
Well, thanks much. That I produced in 2001, and Joe Ertl has managed to give me, well, not give me, I've managed to purchase a tractor each and every year since then. He makes a special edition for the farm broadcasters that we auction off every November, actually, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, or we can buy. And so this year, this is the fifth year. I've got my fifth tractor. All of the tractors have a radio on the fender, and they're the only series that he has, I think, still today, that has a radio right there on the fender, and we have a Ford Powermaster this year. So I've got my tractor from Joe Ertl this year, too. Thanks much for...
good deal.
All right. So are you all ready for Christmas, and are we looking at Christmas presents in terms of the prices we have, or is there more yet to come?
Well, I think we're looking at some Christmas slowdown as far as volume goes, it looks like. But as far as cash prices go, really just not a lot going on. We've kind of seen a little bit of steady to weaker basis over the last week on corn and beans. You know, with some of the weather, we did see here and there, you know, in regionally, maybe some push just to get some stuff to move. But everything just really seems to be going along pretty good. You know, we're seeing grain move into the elevators. We're seeing grain move out of the elevators, you know, into the end-user markets. And everything seems to be kind of just going as should be.
You know, I'm still amazed at how well the pipeline has been able to handle such a very large crop and to move it around and get it picked up off the ground, although those ground piles, I think, are gone now. And the demand has remained strong. It's a testament, I suppose, to what the elevator and the railroad system and the truckers have been able to do out there in the countryside.
Right, and, you know, at today's demand levels on corn, we're, you know, using over a billion bushels each month. So that's a lot of movement that has to take place, and it, like you say, it's really been pretty smooth so far.
Has it managed to keep the basis levels pretty strong or at least holding steady with what's been happening in the futures market?
Yeah, we saw that initial move after harvest on corn into, you know, the Thanksgiving period, and then we've just kind of held pretty steady since then. On soybeans, we also saw a move better, but it never has really gotten to what I would call good levels yet. I mean, better than average levels.
You expecting a slow week next week?
Yeah, I think so. I think you never know when you get low volume on the board of trade what might happen from a future standpoint. But I think I'm starting to see here that most of the farmers have everything pretty well lined up, at least for the, you know, through the first of the year. And, you know, they have sold what they want sold. And I expect things to be fairly slow, but you never know.
Well, we'll look for an orderly week. What are your bids for the day there in Lexington?
411 on the corn and 1121 on the beans, and I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and hope they have a prosperous New Year.
All right. Thanks much, Bill. Same to you.
Thank you.
That's Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Al Blagojevich says he's calling lawmakers back into session January 2nd to work on finding a way to pay for the Chicago Transit Authority. Blagojevich says he considered calling lawmakers back into session this week, but decided to wait until after the holidays on the advice of some legislative leaders. Lawmakers have been unable to come up with a long-term funding plan for the CTA and other Chicago-area mass transit agencies. Those agencies are promising service cuts and fare increases come the 20th of January. The governor says lawmakers should prepare to be in Springfield every day until they come up with mass transit funding. The business travel ban on Pakistan for University of Illinois students and faculty has been lifted. A U of I administrator says any initiatives in Pakistan will continue now. Travel had been prohibited since November 3rd, not long after martial law was declared there. But Pakistan remains on a list of countries where the U.S. State Department has issued travel advisories. Illinois lawmakers did some housekeeping on a civil rights bill passed 4 years ago, and the results take effect New Year's Day. The measure listed prohibitions of government and individual discrimination based on race, national origin, and religious beliefs, but it omitted gender. Ed Yanka of the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois says the law lets a person pursue changing a government agency's policy if it's proven to be discriminatory. Drivers in Indiana can take $5 off their registration costs for each vehicle by renewing online with the State Bureau of Motor Vehicles from now until next October. The BMV also says customers will soon be able to set appointments at 73 BMV branches. Media company Tribune has become private. It's completed its $8.2 billion buyout after a more than 8-month wait. The Chicago-based company will be led by real estate magnate Sam Zell, who became the company's chairman and chief executive. Zell is known as a brilliant investor and bargain hunter. He immediately added 5 directors. But Zell faces a tough task in trying to turn around the nation's second-largest newspaper publisher. He says he wants to provide a sustainable, relevant product for customers and communities. Tribune stock ceases trading at the close of business today. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. On a Thursday afternoon, time to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast. Pete Levitt joins us. Pete, what's leading the ag news in the Midwest or the globe this afternoon?
Well, I guess the best word to say is pretty benign in most parts of the world. You know, we're always looking for the trouble spots, and they're not very many right now. We're seeing some better moisture in South America. Brazil's getting good moisture. The Argentine's a little bit dry, but they had some showers last week, and it's getting a little hot down there. But so far, not too bad. Europe's had good precipitation for winter wheat in most areas, except for maybe some western France down into Spain. That area remains dry. The temperatures are moderate. No problems there. Former Soviet Union, Russia, Ukraine, those areas have good snow cover, and so the winter wheat is protected there. And going on into Australia, good rains for the eastern half of Australia coming up this week as the La Nina pattern starts to gradually wipe out the drought that's been there for the last couple of years. And in South Africa, good moisture, no problems, temperatures cool. So we get back to here. We've got good snow cover in winter wheat areas all the way down to northern Oklahoma. That's a little earlier than usual, so our wheat area is protected and not much problems there. So crop weather, we've got a period, I think, of benign weather for crops here.
Well, let's turn our attention from the crops to the weekend. There'll be a whole lot of folks traveling throughout the Midwest and the nation. Any problem areas that we should be watching?
Yeah, there is. The axis of activity will be from the lower Mississippi Valley northward up into the upper Great Lakes and eastern Great Lakes. There's a system in the lower Mississippi Valley moving eastward now. That's bringing beneficial moisture to the southeastern U.S., and some of that moisture has crept into southern Illinois, so you see some rain down there. The rest of the state is fog as we get warmer temperatures moving up through Illinois and the rest of the Midwest today, well above normal temperatures for tomorrow and Saturday, so pretty good weather to go out and get the last-minute shopping done. And then Saturday, cold front starts through Iowa and reaches western Illinois Saturday morning, produces showers first, then windy and colder weather, culminating in some snow and maybe a pretty good snowstorm on Sunday. So that looks like the toughest day, I guess, would be Saturday night and Sunday. Clearing out Monday, Christmas, a beautiful day, temperatures just a little below normal or maybe close to normal, just ideal weather Monday, Tuesday, and into Wednesday, so we have no problem there. Maybe a little light snow toward the end of the 25th, the end of Christmas Day, just to give a classic picture to the time of year.
All right, well, let's hope so. Thanks much, Pete, and you have a great holiday season.
All right, happy holiday season to all, to you and all of your listeners, and hope everything persists on an up note through the new year.
Thank you much. That's Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the commodity markets with Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, on the pre-opening commodity market report. Have a safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.